That's a powerful testimony, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I got married yesterday. And hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Aaron's parents are here joining us for worship today. Be sure to say hi back to them over there. And wave. And you know, my mom's been joining us for worship for the last few weeks. Praise the Lord. Turn on the mic a little bit. Praise the Lord. My father is in the house today. I just woke up. How about that? God's doing a new thing, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, the anointing, the Holy Spirit is flowing through this place right now. I just want to pray. Hallelujah. Lord God, I just thank you, God, for your presence, your anointing that is flowing through this place. Lord, we praise you, God, because, Lord, it is your presence, oh God, that gives us rest. It is in your presence that we find joy. It is at your right hand that there are pleasures forevermore. You fill us with good things, O God. And we know that you have good plans for us, just as you showed to Tracy, O God. We know that when we follow your ways, and we follow your plans, O God, hallelujah, Lord, you show yourself faithful. You show yourself strong. And you show yourself as the good God that you really are. And just thank you so much, O Lord. I pray right now, and I bind the thief that may come to steal, kill, and destroy. By the blood of Jesus, I come against every distracting, doubting spirit in this room right now. And I pray for a continual flow of your spirit through the aisles and into the hearts of your people. Would you break up the ground of every heart here, every stony heart, every hardened heart. I pray that you'll open up every person's heart here today, so that, Lord, the seeds of faith may be planted and bring forth truly our heart 30, 60, 100 times. That was just done. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. We turn to Romans 12, 2. So, I'm going to preach from this passage here today. Romans 12, 2. Read from the NIV. Romans 12, 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. How many of you guys know that there is a perfect will of God for your life? The word of God says in Jeremiah 29:11, that I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. How many of you guys know in here that God has a plan? He has a perfect will for your life.
Amen.
He created you. He knows what major will fit you best. And there are some people that study one thing, then they switch it up in the middle of their sophomore to something else, then they switch it up again. You know, they're not aimless. They're just kind of like, you know, they feel disillusioned. They study all these different things. And all they will do is just connect with their creator. They will know that they will not waste time switching majors like that. Hallelujah. Because God has a perfect will for your life. God knows exactly which jobs that He wants you to have in which season. He knows when you have come through Potiphar's house and you come through the dungeon and it's time for you to be the prime minister. He knows when to raise you up. Hallelujah. Because He has a perfect will for your life. God knows whom you should marry and when you should marry them.
Amen.
God's got a perfect will for your life.
Amen.
But you know that the devil, he knows that God has a perfect will for you. The devil tries to derail God's perfect will for your life. He tries to get you to go left when you're supposed to go right. He tries to make you hurry when you're supposed to wait. He tries to steal away all faith so that you feel like it's hopeless. What's the point of going on? What's the point of being believers? The devil tries to steal God's perfect will for your life. But brothers and sisters, today I want to preach. I want all of you in here to know and live out the perfect will of God for your life.
Amen.
Search it out. Seek His face. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done. Hallelujah. And part of that will being done is God's perfect will for your life. Not just God's will for the nations or for the church. It's God's perfect will for you. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, God, in my life. Hallelujah. That's the kind of passion that I want to stir up in your hearts today. A passion for the perfect will of God. You know, so many of us, we get complacent. And we settle for good enough. We settle for good enough. Ah, that's good enough. Ah, it's just too much trouble over there. I don't even know where that's going to lead. You know what? This is good enough. And people said it. Hallelujah. Did you know that there are a lot of people that get married, but they settle? Come on now. Come on. You can think of some friends that you feel that. You never said that to them. You better not. You know, but scary. But you think it. You're like, man, that person settled. Man, that person could have done so much. But I don't know why that person's in that marriage. Because not, surprise, surprise, not everybody follows God's perfect will for their marriage. Think about it. Not everybody follows God's perfect will for college. Now, I do campus ministry. I can't tell you how many college students they don't consult the Lord. So they go astray. Or they think that God is not even about right or wrong. Don't do this, do not do that, do not lie, do not steal. It's not even about that. God just is like, I want you to go here. I want you to serve at this church. Or I want you to minister to this person. Or I want you not into this relationship. But the person ignores the plan of God. And they go their own way. You know what that's called? It's called God's permissive will. God has a perfect will for your life. But if you will not follow that perfect will, if you will not seek out that perfect will, you know, guess what? You're walking in permissive will for your life. I'll give you some examples. In the Bible, God's perfect will for Abraham was Isaac. Hallelujah. Because God gave him a promise. That even in your old age, you will have a son. And he looked over at Sarah, and Sarah was old. And she did not look like she could have babies. Even if she had a baby, how would she nurse the baby and carry the baby? And she was old. Come on, she was like up there. What, 80s, 90s when the promise came? Abraham was up. He's like, he's an old man. So like, I don't know if I can do it. But that promise came. Because Isaac was God's perfect will for his life. Well, you see, Abraham didn't follow God's perfect will perfectly. But if you read the Genesis account, what did Abraham do? He was like, Lord, I've been trying. And it ain't happening. So you know what? I know that there's a young servant girl here, alright, named Hagar. She definitely has some babies. Lord, let me help you out a little bit. You know, and people, they're like, Lord, I know you got this plan for me, but let me help you out. Let me help you out. So, you know, and Sarah was like, yeah, let's do it, you know? And Sarah was all happy about it. And so Abraham got together with Hagar and had Ishmael. You see, Ishmael is God's permissive will for him. But Isaac is God's privilege. You can see both of them right there at work. You know, and when later on, when Abraham looked at these babies, you know, that he knew in his heart. He knew over here that was what he did. And he knew over here this is what God did. Hallelujah. Or if you look in the book of Exodus, you have the 10 spies that go out. And they scout out the promised land. God has delivered the Israelites by a mighty hand, outstretched arm. 10 plagues God sends out to Egypt, one of the mightiest kingdoms that have ever existed. And God took this kingdom and brought it to his knees. Frogs and flies. I mean, can you imagine? You know, I am Pharaoh. This is my kingdom. Moses, who do you think? And then it flies to me. And Pharaoh realized, man, what kind of mighty king am I? I can't stop these flies. And then the frogs to me. Hey, a little cute frog. Another one. Hey! What's going on? I'm Pharaoh! The frog's in the air. Pharaoh doesn't do nothing. He wants so mighty after all. God had delivered the Israelites out with all these miracles. Not only that, when they got to the Red Sea, God split that Red Sea. I don't know if you can imagine that, but that's like going to like the edge of a beach, you know? It's not like going to the edge of a river. It's like going to the edge of a beach. You think of a beach, you think of like water, you're like, man, I can't even see through the other side. That kind of beach, and all of a sudden God split that beach. Israelites saw all that. But when they got to the desert, and it was time for them to go in and fight, it was time for them to go in and take possession of the promised land, these spies went out to scout out the land. And the mission wasn't to assess the situation, like whether we should go in and attack or not. God had sent them so that they could see the luscious fruit of that land. How good that land really was, that God was giving to them, that God always sent. God's perfect will for Israel was to go into the promised land at that time. But what happened? Out of that 10 spots, only two of them had the faith to believe. Only two of them stuck with God's perfect will. The rest of the 8, they were like, hey, this desert ain't so bad. Hey, there's some good stuff over there, but no, you can't go in there. Trust me. They got some big dudes over there. They real big. And their weapons are big, their feet are big, their hands are big, and they're like, strapping five of us together. You can't go in. And they ended up, because of the lack of faith, they stayed right where they wanted to be. In the desert. And a whole generation of Israelites would perish in the desert. You know, if you read that account again, God judges them for their lack of faith. And then when they see that judgment come, they're like, oh, okay, well, you were wrong. Caleb and Joshua were right. All right, let's go in now. By that time, it was too late. They went in to fight, and the Bible says that those armies, they beat down the Israelites. But it was too late. And sometimes when God calls now. And for this church, I believe God's making a call. And he's going to send this call out. Go up and take possession of the promised land. You see these empty seats right here? Hallelujah. Everybody look at those empty seats right there. I turn to an air pump. Why are those empty seats there?
Why are the empty seats there?
Yes, why are those seats empty?
So that's our promised land, right there. Land of milk and honey. For those empty seats, every empty seat here, God will fill. Amen?
Amen.
But you know what? God's not going to hold out that call forever. Certain times when he says, I'm calling you now, there's certain calls that he'll just continue to call you throughout your life. And then there are other calls, it's like, it's time now. And you don't answer now, you try to answer a year from now, God's very hand will not come. I'll give you another example. Deborah and Barak. I'll read the Judges chapter 4 this week. And boy, Deborah was one strong woman. She went out and fought with the men. You know that? That she is one strong woman. And Aaron's a strong woman. Man, Deborah, man, she is no, that's not kidding. Don't play around. She probably grew up beating up all the little boys in the neighborhood. And this, there was a guy named Barak that God was challenging to lead his army, go in and fight. And if you read in Judges chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, it's very funny how Barak responds. Right? Verse 7, I will lure Sisera and give him into your hand. And then Barak said to her, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, woman, I won't go. Sarah's like, are you a man? God, you say you won't take it. Why are you acting this way, Sarah? You're our best fighter. Verse 9, Deborah says, very well, I will go with you. But because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman. That was God's permissive will for Barak. That wasn't God's perfect will. God was like, be a man. And Barak was like, oh, yeah. God was like, all right, fine. We'll still do it, but honor is definitely not going to you. That was Barak's permissible. That was God's permissible for Barak. Because Barak went his own way. You see, brothers and sisters, we can't think fearlessly about the details of our lives. Because God does have a perfect will for you. You know, there are some theologians that believe that God has an array of good choices for you. There's a certain theologian, he's also very respected. He believes that you can have 10 good choices of a marriage partner, and you can choose any of them, and God will bless you. God doesn't have any specific person in mind for you. That he just wants you to choose from 10 good Christians. And he believes that if you start to believe that God has a perfect will for you to meet a specific person and marry that specific person at a specific time, then it's going to just end up disillusioning a whole bunch of people that didn't follow that path. That theologian believes that there is no such thing as God's perfect will for your marriage partner, for your job, for things like that. He believes that he leaves it up to you to choose. I don't believe that. I don't believe that because I believe in a sovereign God who does what he pleases, who chooses in his perfect wisdom, and does not leave things to the wisdom of men. He'll say, hey Christian, here's Jenny, Debbie, I can't think of her name.
It would be funny. It would be good.
Irene! And Mignon! And Eric! Which would you choose? You can choose any of them, Christian. I'll bless any of them. Just you choose. And it's like going to a candy store and God's like, choose whatever like you want.
I like that one or the
candy. I'm sorry, that's not the way.
I kind of like that one.
My love story happened with Aaron. God gave me a promise way before I met Aaron. Back 6-7 years ago. That I will meet a specific person. And that she will be beautiful inside and out. Hallelujah. Yeah. And Aaron's parents will testify that their daughter is one beautiful daughter. And many of you will testify, yesterday you saw how beautiful brought she is. Hallelujah. She was stunning. Beautiful. So many good. Hallelujah. And the way God has dealt with me, I can testify from my own personal experience that God has a specific will for you. A very specific thing. Especially big decisions. And what we need to do, we need to seek God's will. We need to test God's will. And we need to approve God's will. And then we got to obey God's will. Yeah. The Word of God said in Romans 12:2 today, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Hallelujah. I have a friend of mine from back in Philly, and my old mentor, he used to minister in Brother Michael, he used to minister with David Fox. And when I reunited with this old Philly friend, she also was moving in the gift of promise. So I recognized it when I saw it. So our sister Hannah, actually she's in the house today. Sister Hannah, why don't you wave your hand with your fiance John there. How about wave a hand over there? Move for gift of promise. And so we actually had announced a couple weeks ago that he was going to come and minister at our Friday Fire this past Friday. And hallelujah, our Friday Fire attendance has always been like half that, 45 at most. Never seen anyone any week where it's more than 45. But this past Friday, hallelujah, 66 people filled the house. That little room was filled with 66 people. They were hungry for the revelation of God. They were like, I want to be prayed for by Hannah today. Hallelujah. They came hungry. I think God honors that you guys are looking put a revelation of God in your life. Maybe there's a decision you want to make, but you want to put it on hold, but you're not sure of it. And you're seeking God's revelation. And as I preached last week, God speaks to us by revelation. Without revelation, without vision, people perish. So people were hungry for the revelation of God, but unfortunately, she has some in-law stuff, but it didn't match up for her. It won't match up for this past Friday. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, she'll be here in the next few weeks. So as the Lord opens up those doors, we'll move and we'll see how the Lord moves upon her to minister to people. I believe it's going to be powerful. Actually, she already has two visions of people that she doesn't know that she believes are here in this room today. She said one girl, who was a girl, and she looked mousy, she said. I'm not sure who that is. Maybe it's you. If you've gotten that before. And she said she saw a brother with really, really, really thick eyebrows. And I can call you one or two brothers here.
Thank you.
But hallelujah, either of the two, God's going to work for you. Hallelujah. It's good to seek the revelation of God for your life. Lord, how long should I stay in Korea? Lord, should I keep praying about this person? Lord, should I apply to these schools? It's good to see the revelation of God, but you want that guidance. Right? When David went into battle, he inquired of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. And there was never a battle that David lost. Did you know that? That David was one mighty warrior. Not because he could physically fight that well. Although he could physically fight very well. You know how he got his first wife. You know how. Hallelujah. You know about that story? Come on. So God, David never lost the battle, because every time he went into battle, he inquired of the Lord. You know that if you inquire of the Lord for every decision you make, and you keep a heart of purity before him, you say, Lord, I don't want your perfect will to be done in my life. Even if you don't do things perfectly, if you pray with that kind of heart, God will solemnly move to make sure it's perfect will done in your life. If you keep and you stay in faith, hallelujah. Even as crazy wanted to give up, and she stayed in faith, God, there's a lot of people believing for my healing around me. I don't feel like it's happening. Every week I go back, every test is telling me the opposite. But she stayed in faith. As people strengthened her to stay in faith. And she was able to see the will of God for her healing. And it's good to see revelation, but did you know that God does not want you to seek a pattern of revelation? What I mean by that is like this. If every decision you have to make, you have to consult a person who missed or to get the prophecy, there's something wrong with you. If every decision you gotta make, Lord, should I go out to dinner with Larry? Hey, can you pray for me about it? I gotta go dinner with Mary. What? And Hannah will be like, man, what's wrong with you? Just make a decision. Right? Or, should I buy that suit? Oh, it's a nice suit, but it's not on sale. I'm not sure, Lord, what you're saying to me. Hey, Hannah, can you pray for me about this purchase? And I'll be like, I'm changing my phone. Why? Why? Because that's childish. Alright, and God's not looking for childish people. He's looking for sons. No. The Word of God came. You are a son of God. A child, we think of childish. But a son has inheritance rights. A son is to rise up. Take possession, hallelujah, of the Father's throne. Hallelujah. That's it. Hallelujah. So what this passage is saying here is, God doesn't want you to seek the gift of prophecy for every little detail, every little decision he wants you to make. He wants you, yourself, for you to be transformed so that you can test and approve God's will yourself. Now I had Sister Hannah pray for me on many occasions throughout the last few years. And there are some situations where I was really, I needed prayer. I needed God's revelation. But it wasn't like the first day I meet that situation, I would call her up. Or I would ask for her prayer. It would be after I pray over it myself, over and over again. And then I get a sense of what God is saying to me. And I already know what he's saying to me. That in confirmation, I would say, hey, can you pray about the situation with me? And I wouldn't even expect for her to be able to get the prophecy, but sometimes she would. And that God will confirm what he's already speaking to me. Hallelujah. You see, if you were to just go to God and these prophetic gifts, you were to go to God for these prophetic gifts, like a person goes to a crystal ball. If you begin to treat the gifts of God in that way, and the guidance of God's perfect will for your life in that way, you will never grow. You will always remain a child. And that is not God's will. Paul said, let us stop acting like mere infants. We gotta grow up. We gotta get off the milk. When a baby is just born, what does that baby want? Milk. That baby needs milk not 3 times a day, that baby needs milk 30 times a day. Hallelujah. But as that baby grows up, if I met an 18-year-old man that only drank milk, there's something wrong with him. Hallelujah. I can't drink that much milk because I'm that kid. You gotta get off the milk and you gotta grow up into the mature things, the strong things of God, the meat. Hallelujah. That's why us men, you love me, amen?
Amen.
That's the strong stuff, hallelujah. That's the good stuff. How many brothers and sisters like me?
Woo!
Like I'm saying, hallelujah. I don't want to offend all the parents. y'all got a toast, hallelujah. God wants you to grow up. He wants you to be able to test the food. His perfect will for your life. And people who have this problem and stuff like that, he wants you to go to them. Sometimes after you yourself have sought his face. After you yourself have prayed over that situation, prayed over that person. And you need a breakthrough. That's when God wants you to see people like that. Hallelujah. Let's look at the passage again, verse 2. Romans 12, 2. The Word of God says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How can I know God's perfect will for my life? Well, there you go, right there. There's a two-step here. One, Paul says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. That means, do not be conformed. Hallelujah. That means, you gotta live with a different standard than the world. You know what the definition of holy is? It's not moral perfection. Holy means to be set apart. Set apart. Hallelujah. It's like a mother with fine china. She don't bring out the fine china to eat dinner every day. But she brings out the fine china when the guests come. When there are honorable guests at the table, she brings out the fine china. Why? Because that fine china is set apart. And then there's brothers. The brothers, they play basketball. And some brothers, they have basketball sneakers or basketball. And they do not wear basketball sneakers on the street. Why? Because those sneakers are set apart. Some of them have blacktop sneakers and then indoor sneakers. Hallelujah. And that's what it means. Holy means to be set apart. And the Word of God says, do not be conformed. The Word of God is saying, do not be conformed. Be set apart. Be different. And sometimes in our scriptures, we live in the world and we're like, why is everybody against me? Why is everybody persecuting me? Why is everybody ridiculing me? Well, wake up! That's the way it's going to be. Because you're supposed to be different. Mm-hmm. But so many of us, we don't embrace the difference. We despise the difference. But the Word of God is saying, you are a people that is set apart. When you come to Jesus Christ, God wants you to start living a new life. By a different standard. Not an improved life, but a completely different life. And this word, do not conform, is like saying, repent. Repent. Repentance is so key to knowing God's perfect will for your life. There's a lot of people, they live in sin. And they conform to the patterns of the world. You know? I mean, they tell me, man, there are some people that they come, they seek my advice, and they say, Christian, what should I do about this relationship? And instead of going, he's not a Christian, break up. Alright? That's called when God does something in his life. Well, what you got on your hand, you're trying to create an issue. And they come, and they're living together, or they're sleeping together already. And they go, what should I do about the relationship? And I say, well, first of all, before you determine whether this person is your wife or not, you gotta stop sleeping together. You gotta stop being conformed to the patterns of work. Well, everybody at my workplace does it. Well, you're not like everybody at your workplace. Our brothers and sisters come to me and say, what should I do about this job? What should I do about this job? I go, well, let's see if, God wants you to get this job, or whether he wants you to quit, or he wants you to go somewhere else. Let's see, what's going on at the job? Well, you know, my boss told me to lie, and it was kind of like a situation where I don't want to put the, I want to save the face of the school, so then I have to lie. So, you know, I lied. Alright, well, first of all, let's stop that lying. Alright, what else do you do? Well, you know, I kind of like, you know, I come in late every day. Alright, well, let's fix that, alright? Stop being conformed to the patterns of this world. You know, all my coworkers, man, they want to like come in the latest they can and leave the earliest they can. But you're not like the rest of your coworkers. Stop being conformed. Be different. Be set apart from your God's calling to be holy. Let's stop that. Let us talk about God's perfect will for your job. You see, repentance is key. You cannot have God's perfect will while you hold on to the patterns of the world. Whatever you are holding on to the patterns of the earth, you will not proceed into the perfect will of God. Neither will you be able to discern it. All you will be doing is following, walking in the permissive will of God. Every decision you make will be tainted, will be weighed down. Therefore, you need to repent. You got unforgiveness in your heart for somebody, you're angry with somebody, and you continue to let that anger brew. You coming up to me, Christian, what should I do? I don't know if I should stay in career or if I should leave. I don't know if I should make this career change or not. And when I pray for the Holy Spirit, all the Holy Spirit comes to my heart and tell that brother to forgive. Lord, I pray you will bless this decision, give him discernment about this decision, and I want him to forgive. But that's what they really need to do. And if you came across a person who's truly moving to get the problem, that's probably what they're going to say to you. You come to them, oh, can you pray for me, Brother Michael, about this situation? And Brother Michael prays and says, Brother! Get off the church! The Lord is saying get off the church! Stop going out to the debauchery on the weekend! Alright, well, Brother Michael probably would not say that now. He would say, I'm not feeling that. Good person who gets tossed to the ground. But brothers and sisters, repentance is key. Jesus said, anyone wants to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up the cross. And that is a two-step. The second step is be transformed. One is repent, do not conform. Second is be transformed. The Word of God says, we are being transformed into Christ's likeness with from glory to glory. It says in King James. From glory to glory. We are being transformed with ever increasing glory into the likeness of Jesus Christ. How do I get transformed? How do I get transformed? Well, look at the Word of God here. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A lot of people get that. They try to renew their behavior. So that they put the emphasis on their will and the power of their will. They want to transform their lives with self-help books. The self-help books can help. But trust me, not going to be much help there if that's where the emphasis is. Be transformed by the renewing of your behavior? No, by the renewing of your mind. Tell your neighbor, your mind needs to be continually renewed. Word of God says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What it's saying is, your mind is key to transformation. You know, your mind, when you're born, you can see a baby transform as they become an adolescent. Remember all the awkward stuff you used to do in sixth grade? Alright, you know, I think about that like a couple months ago. I was like, man, I used to be really awkward in sixth grade. And then you had another set of awkward things you used to do in high school. But praise the Lord, most of you don't do that anymore. Most of you. Why? Because your mind is continually renewed. Renew. Make new. Again, 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 again. I thought this was right. No. May God renew. This. I thought this was good. No. this is the way. And your mind continually gets renewed. And if you study psychology, it's almost like a study in the renewing of the mind. Well, in Christianity, when you become a Christian, brothers and sisters, just because you change your mind about the gospel doesn't mean your mind is completely renewed. It's a continual work. And as your mind is continually renewed, as you read the Word of God, as you obey the Word of God, as you listen to messages, as you read Christian books, your mind is continually renewed. And you think about the things of God. The Bible says, think about the things that are true, that are noble, that are right, that are pure, that are lovely, that are admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy. Think about such things. Your mind is such a key to your transformation. The Word of God says, do not be conformed, be transformed. Do not conform, be transformed. Do not conform, be transformed. And this is not a one-time thing you do at one conference or one Sunday service. This is something that you are constantly living on. Do not conform, but be transformed. Brothers and sisters, as that happens in your life, Paul says, then you will be able to test and approve. Test what God's word is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Brothers and sisters, let us stop staying in the desert. Let's go up into the promised land. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let us not be like Abraham and try to help God out. Let's wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Because God has a perfect will for you. I just want to speak to people here that may have gone through God's permissive will for you. Maybe you know, you're sitting there, it's like, what's the use, Christian? I've already gone astray for too long. I'm already married. Hallelujah. What am I supposed to do now? Tell my wife that you're my permissive will. You're not permissive will for me. I know that, but I didn't tell you that. You better not. Come on. Eat down. Don't do that. But well, sisters, there is good news. There is the gospel. Even for those who know that they have been choosing God's perfect will for your life. Martin Luther King said, it's never late to do what's right. Hallelujah. I don't care how old you are, how many mistakes you make, it's never late to do right. Amen?
Amen.
God, if you have a moment to God's permissive will, God wants you to turn your life around. God wants you to start seeking God's perfect will for your life right now. But even for the things that you have received as God's permissive will for your life, I got good news for you. God is sovereign. Romans 8:28 says, God works all things for good of those who love Him. Those who are called according to His will, for His purposes. So even if you chose the wrong job, you didn't consult the Lord for the relationship that you're in, even if you got that way, hopefully, you know, if you're not married yet, you can still do something about it. But if you're married, you're done. You're there. It's fine. All right, take it out. Hallelujah. So you got to work with that. But hallelujah. Even if you went God's permissive will, the good news is God is sovereign and He can still work all things, everything that you see there for your good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's what God did with David and Bathsheba. Bathsheba was not God's perfect will for David. The son that David had with Bathsheba, Solomon, was not God's perfect will for David. It was his permissive will. But after God, David came before the Lord with a repentant heart, God used that permissive will to bring the light of Jesus to Solomon. David had other wives. But God brought Jesus, the Lamb of Jesus, through the Son of Hashem. Which tells me that God is the God that is not afraid to touch those mistakes you made. He's not appalled, and he doesn't just, I can't touch that area. Christian, you gotta deal with that mess. God's not like that. If you come before him with a heart of repentance, God will even take those mistakes you made, and he'll start to restore. He'll start to renew. And he'll start to work those things out. That's what he did with Judah and Tamar. If you know Judah and Tamar's story, tied up in a nutshell, a crazy story. Tamar was Judah's daughter-in-law. Judah had a bunch of sons, right? First son marries this girl Tamar. And then, after a little while, that son dies also. So Tamar, according to that tradition, had to marry Judah's second son. So she marries her second son. And that boy, he died. And then he married, I believe it was a third son, right? Check my sources. Right? Third son, hallelujah. I checked his control, Michael. I checked my sources, I checked my control, Michael. He had a third son. Tamar married him. And he died as well. So Judah's got this fourth little boy. He's still a little boy. And Judah's like, Tamar, you is not having my last son. There's something wrong with you, girl. Still on all my sons. And Tamar, knowing this, that her father-in-law was not being righteous to her, you know what she did? She dressed up as a prostitute. Waited by the roadside. And Judah was coming down. Hey, you. Yeah? Okay. And they sit together. He doesn't recognize her. She takes a couple of his items in pledge for payment. And then later on, she was found to be pregnant. Judah dragged her out and said, bring that wicked daughter-in-law out right now. He was stoned. Which was required by the law. And they brought her out. And she was praying. Who is the father of this child? And Tamar brought out the items that belonged to him. He said, the child's father is the person who will be to you. Judah's son said, she is the righteous man. Do you know that Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Out of all the sons that Jacob had, God chose not Joseph, not the firstborn son, Reuben. God chose Judah. That's why we call them Jews. Judeans. So it's the line of Judah that was chosen. It's the line of Judah that stayed faithful to the longest. That they is Judah to do it. It is through the line of Judah that God brought Jesus into the world. Tamar's pregnancy was not God's perfect will for either Judah or Tamar. You see, God is the sovereign God who forgives, gives you a new beginning. Hallelujah. He wants you to follow his perfect will. So,